Welcome back to Fashion. Sorry for the unexpected delay in episodes, but we are finally back with this book and movie club episode on October's book and movie club pick, which was the documentary film Slay. So, in case you haven't watched it yet, but want to hear a little bit about it, this film follows an investigation into the fur, leather, and wool industries by a woman named Rebecca, who worked previously within the fashion industry in China. But after she rescued a dog from the meat trade, where he would have been killed for meat and then his fur sold, and statements from several industry experts, activists, people working within the fur, leather, and wool industries. And it's just incredibly well researched and so informative. I will say again here, I think I mentioned it in a previous episode, but just kind of a trigger warning, there are some really heavy depictions of animal cruelty within the documentary. So just be prepared for that. There are definitely parts where I had to just kind of look away and not really watch for a minute or two. But the message it has and just all of the information it provides is so important. So that's why I chose this as a pick. So getting into it, I just want to start out going through some like facts that I learned from the documentary. And then at the end, we'll wrap it up with just some kind of overall themes, and like kind of like discussion points that I thought were interesting and that I didn't either really know about or don't think are talked about enough. Okay, so let's get started. So first of all, I just love that this documentary started out with Rebecca was just kind of like a woman in the same position as a lot of other people. You know, you just buy leather or even skins or fur without really making that kind of like connection between the animals and the materials you're wearing. And she is someone who loved animals, but just didn't really think about it. And this is definitely like a tactic of the industry to keep these feelings so separate from what you're wearing. Okay, so let's get into some facts. And the first thing that I learned was that leather is actually the most common material in fashion. That kind of surprised me. I don't know why. Like, I know so much is made out of leather, so many accessories, especially like handbags, shoes. But the fact that it's the most common material, even over cotton or denim or anything else, was kind of shocking to me. And then this next fact is something that I've learned about a lot more in the past couple of years, but I think can be very shocking, is that chromium sulfate, which is a highly toxic chemical, is used in the tanning process for 90% of the leather that is produced. There's also tons of other carcinogenic chemicals that are used within the process, and these chemicals can have an effect on people working with them up to 40 years later. So that just kind of shows just how dangerous these chemicals are, and that this production really poses such a high risk to the people working in the industry, as well as, of course, the animals that are slaughtered for their leather. Another fact is that 80% of deforested land in Brazil has been cleared by cattle ranchers. So I feel like this is something that's coming up more and more now, is how much of an effect the fashion industry has on deforestation. And it's just, that's such a crazy high percentage, at least to me. I would never think that, you know, that much of land is just being affected by this need to keep cattle for meat and leather and anything else these farmers might be doing. There is also this great section on this Made in Italy label. And honestly, like, we could probably do a whole episode on that. It might not be a super long one, but if you're interested in this, let me know and we can go in more depth in another episode. But basically, this, like, when you see the labels like made in Italy on certain leather products, it kind of like automatically conveys this really like sense that the product is super high quality and like very different from anything else. But these labels are so like underregulated, I guess might be the right word for it. But the things you need to do to be able to use this label are so minimal. All that really needs to happen for a brand to be able to put made in Italy on their products is that like the final finishing steps are in Italy. So this leather that you're getting is being like treated and produced all over the world and then shipped to Italy. And maybe they're like putting a couple final stitches or something like that on. Like I said, this is kind of like very surface level explanation. And if you want to know more about it, I can do a little bit more research to get more of the details. But that's definitely something to be aware of, that if you are someone who buys leather, just know that this like made in Italy label really doesn't hold much weight at all. Okay, so moving on to some more facts now. Only about 25% of a fur pelt biodegrades. This is another thing that I have seen a lot of discussion on, like within fashion sustainability conversations, is that a lot of people try to push this idea that fur is a natural, like quote unquote natural fiber that is good for the environment, is sustainable, and it's just not true. Like I said, only 25% biodegrades. And there also, the documentary mentioned that there have been studies that show that the carcinogenic chemicals that are used to treat the fur to make it wearable can actually rub off on people even when they're wearing it. So this is like really far down the line. Of course, it's going to be harmful to the people working directly with these chemicals, but the fact that they're so prevalent in these items that they still even hold a risk when you're wearing them is pretty crazy. So, some more facts. This is a little bit more towards the slaughter of animals. And this first one really was something that I was not aware of at all and was just so sad. This was kind of one of the moments in the film where I had to not watch for a second. But foxes are often killed for their fur by electrocution through their rectum and mouth to preserve the quality of the fur and not stain it with blood. This is just so sad to me. Like, I could not imagine how horrible that kind of death must be. I don't know. It just seems so unnecessary. So continuing, there are also, I've mentioned this in a Fact Friday before, but this is just such a big fact that I think, again, is something important that we just kind of don't really realize the scale that the fur and leather industries operate on. So, over 100 million animals are killed every year for fur, and 1.5 billion are skinned a year for leather. So, I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of unimaginable to think about these animals that are just being raised solely for the purpose of slaughter every single year. And some more animal statistics. One fur coat can take up to 300 chinchillas, 60 mink, or 16 to 40 foxes to create all of the fabric needed for that. They did some kind of investigating into some of the sales of skins and furs and things like that. And one of the kind of markets that the woman got into by, she posed as a buyer as a way to get some of this information from people who are selling these materials. And it showed that there were also like not all of the animals that you're kind of typically aware of are at risk for this treatment, such as foxes and mink. But there are also skins of a lot of wild-caught protected species being sold too. And of course, I mean, I find this terrible for any kind of animal, but that was just kind of particularly shocking that they were so open about that too. The kind of last section of the documentary is on the wool industry. So getting to just a couple of facts from that part now. Many sheep whose coats are sheared for wool are subjected to this like practice called mulesing, where wool-bearing skin around their backside and tail are cut away to like prevent too many flies and like damaging the wool and things like that. And this procedure is of course painful. They are cutting away their skin and it's done without any pain relief. And then additionally, these sheep, like, I don't know, I think that these statistics are important to share because a lot of times wool is presented as like a very responsible natural choice again. But just kind of being aware of the cruelty that these animals are very often subjected to. A lot of sheep are also slaughtered after they can no longer produce wool, and their typical lifespan, like out in the wild, if they were left just to their own accord, would typically be around 12 years. And this lifespan shortens to only 6 months for some of the animals that are additionally killed for meat, and then up to just 6 years, which would be about half of that expected lifespan for the sheep that produce wool. And one last statistic is that 15 million lambs die in Australia within 48 hours of birth. These lambs are born during winter, which is a really tough time for the animals, and they're also selectively bred from sheep who are more likely to have twins or triplets, just, you know, to have more animals to get wool from. And because this is such a difficult birth, then the mothers often die after, and the lambs become orphaned and often also die from a lack of care. So these, I know this is a very kind of depressing episode, and but like I said, I just think that it's so important to get this information out there because it's really so well hidden by the industry and just so disconnected. But now let's just get into it. There were just a couple of things that I thought were extremely well done throughout the documentary, and one was kind of showing this cruelty of trapping. A lot of trappers are used to kill animals that are need, well, I don't want to say needed, are, you know, hunted for their fur. And it just really shows how horrible this trapping process is. It shows people stepping on animals' necks to kill them, drowning them in rivers. One particular scene that I thought was very disturbing was that you could kind of hear this shout from a trapper saying, like, "What's wrong with you?" as he is drowning a raccoon in a river, like as if there is something like so unnatural about an animal fighting for its life. And it's just, that was just so horrifying to me that this is how animals are treated, like just to get a little bit of their fur to use for, you know, lining on a coat or something like that. So there was also a really great discussion on kind of like the arbitrary distinctions that are made between animals that are killed for fur, such as like they make a comparison like why are foxes killed but not dogs? And it just kind of makes you think like why, like how have people made this kind of distinction that certain animals are just meant to be bred and killed for their fur? It goes a lot more into it within the documentary and speaks on it a lot better than I am right now. So definitely, like I said, like please give this a watch, even if you just listen to it. Like if you are someone who is going to be very, very bothered, I 100% understand. This was very hard for me to watch, and that's actually part of why these episodes are late. I just kind of wasn't in the headspace the past couple of weeks to be able to go back and watch this. So, okay, just two more things that I wanted to mention now. And the first is that animal products are in a lot of items that we might not even think about, such as like leather trims on things or the soles of shoes, or like those small, tiny little pom-poms that like you might assume are faux fur. But it was pointed out within the documentary that, you know, a lot of the industry just kind of tries to sneak this in to items. And so just really to pay attention when you pick something up that has like some kind of fur-like material on it, to check it for, to make sure that it is faux or vegan labeled or something like that. And this can be really tough. I have like recently started looking a lot more at kind of like vegan marketplaces to shop from. There's a lot online, and I can link a couple in the show notes. One I particularly like is Immaculate Vegan. They have a whole bunch of different brands, and you can like set it to see only brands that ship to your country. They ship all over the world. Well, maybe not all over the world, but to a lot of different countries. And so I think it's a really great solution. Like I've said, I did enjoy this documentary a lot despite the heaviness of it. And this is absolutely worth, you know, the hour and a half if you haven't watched it yet. And, or like I said, if you would prefer to just listen and not see anything, you know, you can watch it, just put it on a screen on your computer and put something else over top so some of the images and things are blocked out. But that is all I have to say on this. I do have another thing to say here. I should have, actually, I guess I should have put our next pick at the beginning. But since this episode is coming out so late in November, I'm just gonna do a kind of like combined November and December pick. And this book is a super short one too, because, you know, this time of year is so busy that I feel like we all don't have time to kind of sit around and read a super long book or be watching a bunch of different movies, things like that. So our book pick for both November and December is The World Is on Fire, But We're Still Buying Shoes by Alec Leach. Alec Leach was a fashion editor for High Snobiety for, I forget exactly how long, but like several years. And so, you know, he is someone who has been within like completely immersed in the fashion world. And I have just started reading it. I am not finished yet, but there's a lot of really good information in it. And I think that he does a really good job of explaining things without it being too, oh, I don't even know how I want to say it, but like without going too in depth, but still providing you really necessary information to just be aware of shopping practices and maybe how to make a couple better choices. I thought this would be particularly great with Black Friday coming up next week. Yeah, maybe I'll post some kind of better Black Friday shopping alternatives on the Instagram or something, some small businesses you can support instead of these big companies. But yeah, that's it for this episode. If you have not watched Slay yet, please do so. And I will, of course, have a link to The World Is on Fire, But We're Still Buying Shoes in the show notes. This book was self-published by Alec Leach, so you can only order it from his website. And it does ship from Germany, so it might take a couple days to get here. But I know, like, mine was shipped through DHL. I want to say, like, I got it within a week or something like that. So it's definitely not, it's not going to take like months to get to you or anything. Okay, yes, that is it. If you have some time this week, please leave a rating or review. I would appreciate that so much. And then I'll be back to talk to you again tomorrow for 5.